WWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yeah, welcome along to the FWA podcast. Every week we talk to one of the leading football writers in the country about the burning issues around the world of football. This week, I'm delighted to say it's Bob Cass, who's one of the preeminent football writers. And you can also read his blog on footballfriends.biz. Welcome to the podcast, Bob. You well?
Yes, good to talk to you, Paul. Good to
The other thing is that I must mention is that every time Bob's been on the podcast, he's given a winner out and he's bet of the week. Whether it's a quick, I think he put up a four team hacker the first time, the second time he came in with a winner, so no pressure. But in about 15 minutes' time, he will give you another winner. That's how it's that's how we're going to work this.
Yeah.
Let's just cast our eye back to the international midweek, Bob, first of all, before we look forward to the return of the Premier League. England with a very good win in Switzerland. No getting around the fact that everyone who was kind of poo pooing England after the Norway game, they came up trumps. Two goals for Danny Welbeck. The Arsenal player, of course, now, and all is well, you know, in the world for England. Suddenly, so well that William Hill have put out a price, a special price, for England to win all of their Euro 2016 qualifiers, and they've priced it up at 11-2. On first viewing, that seems like an outlandish expectation. Then you look at the teams in the group, Bob, and it might well be attainable.
Well, yes. There's no question at all. They've done the hard part of looking at the group. I mean, you never know what these teams are coming up with. But on the face of it, going to Switzerland and Basel, which is a very intimidating ground. I've been there with quite a few English clubs, football clubs, and the England team. And it's a very intimidating atmosphere. And to go there and win that, and win as convincingly as they did, and shoot a lot of people up into the bargain, I think it's there for them now. You know, I mean, they could certainly go through it all. It's a bit skimpy, I have to say.
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it?
But it's certainly possible.
Yeah, I think I might have said 11-2. It's 13-2, but it's
13-2, that's better.
It's better, but still a bit short. I mean, the other teams in the group, if you're not aware, by the way, Lithuania, who won their opening game away in San Marino. Estonia beat Slovenia. So there's Slovenia, San Marino, and of course Switzerland, who are pointless so far. But, you know, I mean, the thing with that bet, Bob, is that you're going away to somewhere like Lithuania or Estonia, Slovenia, you should win, but there might be a sneaky draw in there. You know, you think about if England have coasted the group and they finish the group, you know, you think, well, the last game away in Lithuania might just settle for a draw. It's fraught with danger, isn't it?
Well, it is. But you know, if you go on form and you like to speculate, you like to have a bet, you know, okay, and you're supporting England, why not have a tenner on it? It's a good idea.
Yeah. Just before we leave England, Roy Hodgson has really enjoyed a fairly good relationship with the press, with the capital P, so far. Things started to get a little bit tetchy after the Norway game, didn't they? You know, that the kind of a now infamous press conference when he was confronted with a stat that he didn't like, and he used some choice language, which obviously in these days goes around Twitter very quickly. He was obviously feeling the pressure a little bit, wasn't he? And he's alleviated that, as you said. How do you see that relationship progressing now? Because the last thing you want as an England manager is the press turning against you.
Oh, well, it's the way of it, isn't it? You know, I mean, managers before him have all had the honeymoon lasts about 5 minutes, and then the media, and I'm one of them. Then you know they start sort of looking at the other side of it. You know, the history of managers falling out with the press, even from Bobby Robson. I mean, they were shouting for Bobby Robson's blood when he was manager of the team before the semi-final, before the World Cup, of which he reached the semi-final and got knocked out by on penalties. So it's a history. You know, I mean, I thought the treatment of Steve McClaren wasn't good. He's a good pal of mine, but you know, he was unfortunate in some of the circumstances. But Roy Hodgson is now just beginning to find out what it's like to be England manager.
Yeah, indeed, it's never an easy job.
But I think he got the monkey off his back a little bit with that win in Switzerland. I think they'll give him an easier ride from now on. You know,
yeah, let's hope so. The Premier League returns, of course, this weekend. Lots has happened in the last few weeks. Obviously, the transfer window closed as well. We'll have a look at the TV games, Bob, in a little bit of detail, because I think everyone's looking forward to getting back into the Premier League. And what a way to start. Arsenal at home to Manchester City. Arsenal are 7-4. The draw's 13-5, and 7-5 for City. Since the kind of new era of Manchester City, this game was fairly low scoring, and then it was 6-3. Last season, of course, to Man City. What can you see this time? Because City are coming off the back of a pretty poor loss to Stoke, really.
Absolutely right. And Arsenal will be buoyed they haven't set up the world on fire, but they've got a home advantage. They've got Danny Welbeck in the team. 2 goals against Switzerland. He'll be buzzing. He'd be wanting to prove Van Gaal wrong for showing him the door, and he couldn't pick a better team to do that against Manchester City. I don't see Arsenal losing this game. 7-4, I'd be tempted to have a little tickle on that. But Man City, you know, they lost against Stoke, and there could be some reaction to that. The easiest thing would be to say it would be a draw, but you know, I just fancy the Gunners just to nick that one.
Interesting. Yeah, back to back defeats for City there. Danny Welbeck, by the way, in the top goal scorer market. I'm not saying he will be the top goal scorer in the Premier League, but 40-1, and you can get each way odds. Remember, a quarter of the odds for a place in the top four. Well, 17 goals can often get you the fourth place in that market. So you're looking at 10-1 effectively on each way bet to finish in the top four scorers. Has that got any legs, you think?
It certainly has. He's got a great midfield behind him there, and he shows what he's capable of. I thought the way he took his second goal, particularly against Switzerland, where he waited and waited until the defence was almost on his back, and he shoved it wide of the keeper. So it'll give him a lot of confidence, you know. And as I said, he'll be trying to prove people wrong. 40-1 is a good bet, good each way bet. As you say, 10-1, quarter of the odds. I think that I might even risk a few, Bob, on that myself.
Diego Costa's the outright favourite in that market. He's 2-1, obviously, already off.
You wouldn't back against him,
would you? Not at all, no, because you know the Chelsea look like they'll be right up there, obviously.
Oh, I fancy them to win it.
Aguero 11-2, Sturridge 7-1, Van Persie 10s, Rooney 10s, Falcao 12-1, Jovetic is 16s, Sanchez 20s, Dzeko 25s, the likes of Ramsey and Remy and Balotelli and Sterling, Lukaku and Toure all before Welbeck in the betting as well. So interesting.
That's a bit insulting to Danny.
I thought so. Yeah,
I would think it's a good value bet. I agree with you.
Liverpool Aston Villa is the tea time game on Saturday. 1-4 Liverpool, 9-2 the draw, 11-1 Aston Villa. Aston Villa are a kind of strange team. They've started off the season pretty well though, and I often think they're better away from home than they are at home, Bob, just because they've got a bit of pace and they're happy to kind of soak up a bit of pressure and then hit teams on the break. They got a 2-2 draw at Anfield last season. I'm just wondering if they can do something similar here and get a draw out of the game.
Well, 4-1 on is I would never lay the odds on 4-1 on Liverpool. I mean, the value bet is a draw, I think. Or to lay Liverpool. But you know, I mean, Tom Cleverley is coming into the Aston Villa team. He's another one in the same boat as Danny Welbeck. They'll be looking to do it. Liverpool haven't got Sturridge, so that means they haven't got the two front men that carried them last season, Sturridge and Suarez. So you know, they'll be weak. I mean, obviously Sterling's in the finest possible form, but I'd be tempted to have a little sort of tickle on the draw there in that game. It's fraught. It's not the knocking bet that the 4-1 on price suggests.
No, it isn't. You're right about that. And Liverpool still haven't quite rectified the defensive problems. I know they didn't concede against Tottenham, but obviously conceded 3 against Man City. Probably should have conceded more against Southampton as well. It's still a problem for them. The traders have latched onto Villa's fixture list after this Liverpool game. They've got Arsenal at home, Chelsea away, Man City at home and Everton away, and they've put up a special bet of Aston Villa to lose the next 5 Premier League games. It's priced up at 5-1, which again looks a bit skinny to me. Surely they'll get a point at least out of all that.
Not at all. I cannot see that. The traders haven't done themselves any favours on that. My money would be staying in my pocket on that one, by the way. You know?
Fair enough. On Sunday, we've got just the one game. It's Manchester United versus QPR, 2-7 Man United. QPR are 9-1, and the draw is 9-2. QPR picked up the first win before the international break, beating Sunderland. 1-0. That's the only goal they've scored so far. Obviously, their only away game, they were beaten well by Tottenham. Never really mustered a threat until they were 4-0 down. What about Man United, Bob? I mean, you know, the amount of column inches and minutes on the radio, on the TV that have been spent discussing them this season so far. But we'll do a bit more. This team that could take the field at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon could be drastically different to the one that we've seen so far. He could feasibly go with Van Persie, Rooney and Falcao in the same team with Di Maria and Mata, Danny Blint,
people like that.
Daley Blint, Herrera, you know, Rojo in the middle of the defence. I mean, you know, suddenly, is it... My view has been you can't trust Manchester United at odds on prices like this until you've seen them do it. Are we about to see them do it, do you think?
Do you know, I mean, when you look at it, he's got to win a game sometime.
He might be getting the sack otherwise.
I mean, to be fair, you'd have to start looking at the price of the next man to get the
20-1, by the way. I'll just say it now, 20-1.
20-1. Well, I mean, if Liverpool are 4-1 on, 7-1, you know, a rich man would be tempted, very tempted, to have 700 to win 200 on that. It's pinching money. I just can't see them. I think 7-1, it's certainly better value than the Liverpool bet, yeah. Mm. I mean, they have to be a knocking bet.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
QPR, I'm guessing, will go there and try and shut up shop. I was looking into Man United and just trying to see what the difference is between them now and like in the Ferguson reign. So I looked at a couple of the fixtures, the Sunderland fixture and the Swansea fixture, the two of the games they've had so far, and it's quite simple. But when you look at the stats, is that they're just not getting anywhere near the same amount of balls into the box.
No, they're not.
The amount of shots that they have with inside the area in the Ferguson area compared to this time round it's unbelievable how different it is. But you can see that now with Di Maria providing more of the emphasis on attack rather than having to rely on the defence a bit more.
Well, I don't think Man United were well served last year by Valencia and by the other fellow on the other side, the Aston Villa fellow. I mean, Ashley Young, I'm thinking. I think it'll change now. I think there'll be a delivery there. And I've got if they're going to pay Falcao the money that they're going to pay him, he's going to get some goals, and he's got Van Persie there. Rooney, as you say. You know, I mean, they're on a hiding to nothing QPR.
It
they could
like
go
it,
there
yeah.
and with nothing to lose apart from the match, but everybody expects that. Mm-hmm. That's the only danger. But I think Manu will be trying to prove a lot, and I really can't see anything other than a very, very convincing victory for Manchester United.
Yeah, well, Manchester United to win the game with four or more goals in a match is 13-8. If you think it's going to be a really big win for them, you can back Man United to win and over 2.5 goals in the game as well. So there's a few ways to play that one. Manchester winning over 2.5 goals is still odds on, though. It's still 7-10, so maybe a bit skinny.
With 2.5,
three or more goals in the game.
The 13-8 bet, four goals is. Looks decent value.
Yeah, you can see that. The final TV game of the weekend is Hull versus West Ham on Monday night. 23-20 Hull, 21-10 the draw, and West Ham are 13-5. Hull yet to win at home. They had the draw. Won two of the Europa League games at home though, and have scored and conceded in each of the home games so far. West Ham just a solitary away win. The only game they've played, and that was 3-1 at Crystal Palace. You can see this one being a draw.
I've got a sneaking fancy for you. To be fair, but Stevie Bruce did more business on the transfer deadline day than any other manager.
Yes, he did.
He was at it in the morning. He was at it late at night, and early in the hours of the next morning when he got Ben Arthur on loan from Newcastle. He's done some good business there. He broke the club record to get Hernandez, and so. He's really spent well, as he's obviously going for it as Steve Bruce. But, Sam needs a result after losing at home to Southampton. And I think people say that they don't play enough football and all that, but I think they'll go there to try and get a point. He needs a point badly to Sam, and I think he'll probably get it.
Mm, yeah. Quick mention of, you're based up in the North East, Bob. Mention of the two North East clubs. How have you assessed the start to the season so far for Sunderland and Newcastle?
Very poor indeed. In spite of all the players that Newcastle brought in, well, seven in effect, nine, but he's let two go back to Nottingham Forest. And Southampton have impressed me, and I think the way that Ron Koeman's taken over there from Pochettino, they were very good against West Ham a fortnight ago. I don't see any result for Newcastle there. It's a long journey for them, and it'll be a long, miserable journey back from my point of view. I think Southampton, I would back Southampton very strongly to win that. Sunderland Spurs, that's another tight one. Spurs had the bottom knocked out of their lives when they lost at home badly to Liverpool. And Sunderland are struggling to get the first win of the season. That to me looks like a draw. But I think Southampton should really win that game against Newcastle.
It's come to the time when we ask for your bet of the week, Bob. You know, people are kind of, you know, been sharpening up the pens for the last 15 minutes while I've been chatting, waiting for this. What have you been looking at?
Well, it's a value for money bet. For me, the sort of double of the day would be Chelsea and Southampton. If you want a value bet, a single bet, is it, or is it the double?
Whatever you want. We don't mind. I place no limitations on you.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll say. Chelsea, Southampton, and Everton to win at West Brom.
Chelsea 1-4, Everton at 23-20, and Southampton 4-5 pays just under 4-1.
That would be my bet. Chelsea, Southampton and Everton to win at West Brom.
Yeah, a tenner will get you just shy of £50 back
terrible
in your
thing.
Pocket. Yeah, not bad at all. A bit of money for the Saturday night as well.
Yeah, indeed.
Bob, pleasure talking to you as always. Thanks very much. Remember, you can check out Bob's blog on footballfriends.biz. I've got it open here, actually, Bob, and I've just been looking at it, so you can't miss it. When you open up the website, there's a picture of Bob in the top right-hand corner with the preview. That's on there from Friday afternoon?
From Friday lunchtime, noon onwards.
Brilliant. So check that out, footballfriends.biz, for Bob's blog there. Thanks, Bob.
Look after yourself, son.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Bob Cass there on the FWA podcast last week. If you want to download this podcast, you can get it at williamhill.com/podcasts. It's also available on the footballwriters.co.uk website. It's on audioboo.fm. And if you'd like to subscribe to iTunes, then you get all our football podcasts delivered to your phone, to your tablet, or to your PC. Just search William Hill Football on iTunes, and the rest is fairly simple. If you're having a bet on any of the action this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.